And good evening, everyone. Welcome to Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. I'm Rick, and tonight we're going to open up this bottle of Corvina. I can't pronounce it anymore. I can't see it anymore. I changed the lights around in the studio, and everything's reflecting off it. So I believe, if I look at it real close down here, it says Collezione di Famiglia. It's a Tanasi 2016. It's Corvina Verosa is the wine here. I'm going to show it to you. I did have some pictures. Unfortunately, for some reason, they didn't transfer over. I didn't get them onto my computer here, my system, in time. So I'm going to have to hold this bottle up. Technical glitches. This is a work in progress, of course. And I've been working on the studio a little bit, and it still needs a lot of work, but it's getting there slowly but surely. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'll have this all streamlined a little bit more. I was hoping to get this directly to my Facebook page, but I was having a little bit of issue with that as well tonight, which is why I'm starting a little bit late on it. I know I've had the title card up for a while. And if you were wondering what was going on, I was trying to get this properly set up on my Facebook stream, and I'm actually doing this from my Drink with Rick Facebook page. I just set this up a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to try streaming from that tonight. I don't know really how this is going to work out because normally I'm streaming right from my own Rick account. So I don't know how many of my friends will see this tonight live. We're going to give it a try. I'm still sort of learning how some of this works here with Facebook. I've got it streaming on YouTube, so you can catch me on YouTube. Let me see if we have anybody in YouTube at the moment. I found that YouTube, people will tend to watch it on YouTube and not really comment or anything. But if you are on YouTube and you're watching it, please comment. Let me know that you're there. Definitely. I'm watching the chat on both of these, coordinating between both Facebook and YouTube. I've sort of given up on trying to push it out to Twitter tonight, but I'm going to try to get that worked out in the next couple of weeks. Anyway, welcome to Drink with Rick. This is the live stream, Saturday night live stream, that we open up a bottle of wine that that's new to me anyway, and I taste it and I test it out and I give you a review, tell you what I think of it. Of course, everyone's taste is different, so you may not necessarily agree with what I like, but I will say that I'm an everyman. I'm just a regular guy. I'm not a sommelier. I'm not a wine connoisseur, so to speak. I just like wine, and I like good wine. But I've been drinking wine long enough to know what I like and what I don't like in a wine. And I think for most people, that's pretty much how most people drink wine. Not everybody's an expert on wine. Most people are not, and they will drink a wine that they like. They'll stay away from wines they don't. They will generally go with recommendations from other people that they know and trust. And I hope that you trust me enough to trust my judgment on a good wine. We're going to find out if this is a good wine, and I'll let you know if this is one that is worth purchasing. Before we get started, really, I just want to mention you can watch the live stream most days on drinkwithrick.com. And when I say most days, I mean after the stream has ended. I didn't put it up tonight for because of the issues with Facebook. I didn't put it up tonight for the live stream right from the site. But I plan to get this streamlined so I can do that. Anyway, you can catch it after the stream has ended, either here at the Drink with Rick Facebook page, or if you're not on Facebook, and some people are not. And of course, you can catch it on YouTube as well, but you can also check it out at drinkwithrick.com. We'll have those posted, as well as the podcast. I do a podcast version of this. Basically, what I do is I take the audio from this live stream and I turn it into a podcast. I take out some of the elements that, of course, are not that are so too visual that really are not relevant to audio podcasts. I'll let it that down a little bit. For the most part, it is everything that's on the Saturday Night Wine stream. That's pretty much everything that's in the podcast. So you can catch that out as well. You can catch that whenever you're out and about. You don't have to sit here and listen, or watch my mug at home to really get this. You can listen anytime, anywhere. Anyway, you can catch that at drinkwithrick.com. You can also email me at rick@savoiamedia.com. That's SAVOIAMEDIA.com. And send in your comments. I welcome your comments, good or bad. Let me know what you think. Anyway, having gotten a lot of that out of the way, we're going to go ahead and open this bottle of Corvina. Let me tell you a little bit about this wine first. And I had shots of both the front and the back. I didn't have them ready here for tonight. But I'm going to go ahead and give you a little brief rundown on this. This is... Tanasi Collezione di Famiglia Corvina 2016. It generally runs between about $15 to $24 a bottle, I believe. I've been seeing it a lot online. I think, let me see what we got here. Some places have it for about $20 a bottle. I've got a couple places here that are running about $21.98, $22 a bottle. I picked mine up at Wine Store, a local wine store here in Blakeney in Charlotte, North Carolina. I picked this one up for $14.99 or $15 a bottle. I have one bottle. I want to try one bottle first, and if I like it, then maybe I'll buy some more. But this is supposed to go, according to their website, this is supposed to go well with burgers and for dinner parties. It's good for dinner parties. I'm not having a dinner party, but I do have tonight, I do have something to try it with. I have my crackers, of course. This time they're not the really salty Ritz, but I have some, I believe some club crackers here of some sort. I've got some cheese, some cheddar, and I have some chicken to try it with, although I don't think this is going to go that well with chicken, personally. But I do have a nice steak, some steak that we left over. We had some steak for dinner at a nice porterhouse, and we're going to try this with a little bit of the steak. If it goes well with burgers, it may go pretty well with the steak as well. We're going to find out. Anyway, we're going to try that. And of course, I'm going to pour it into my Cooper's Hawk genuine crystal glass from the Cooper's Hawk winery and restaurant. I picked this one up at the winery and restaurant in Orlando when I was there earlier this year for PodFest 2019. And I really like this glass. It's a nice glass. And we're going to find out. We're going to open this up with... I have a pair of cutters here. Move the glass out of the way for a moment. And I'm going to open up this with my wine cutters from this special set that my wife Chi bought for me. She got it at an estate sale. It was part of a set, a metal corkscrew set called Pull It. And I actually found out where this originated from. There's some interesting stuff about that. I don't know how much it originally cost, but it she got it for $5, which I think is a pretty nice bargain. This is a pretty hefty device, and we're going to see how well it works on this. Apparently, this came from Aldi. I guess it was sold specifically for Aldi stores, but I think it was sold in, because I couldn't find it locally in the Aldi stores locally online here in the States. Apparently, it was one that was that may have been purchased in the UK and then brought over here by the previous owner, probably. I'm just assuming that. That's my story. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just speculating. But that seems to be a logical explanation for how it wound up here. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and put this over, and of course we put it over the top of the, and because I'm doing this on the table with it raised up, it's a little bit, you know, not as easy to pull out. There we go. There goes the cork. And of course, to release the cork, we do the reverse. Let me put this somewhere because this cork is going to sort of pop out. There we go. And there we have the bottle. It's open. Now, normally I also have my aerator. In the last couple of shows, I've purchased this aerator that that's worked really well for the wine. I did not bring it up with me tonight. I had a lot going on tonight, so I didn't really have time to do a lot of proper prep for the show. So I'm just going to pour it straight out into the glass, and we'll see how it looks. It does seem to have a nice color to it. It's very a dark color. And of course, in these lights, that can look a little bit different in these studio lights than it can under some normal lighting. But it does have a nice color. It looks the clarity is good. It looks fairly clear. I'm going to give it a little swirl here. Nice swirl. And we'll see, and we'll check out the, give it a whiff and check out the aromas from it. And looking at the rivulets on it. You know, it's kind of warm in this room, so it's not taking long for this to happen. Okay, slowly. It's going down slowly. Somewhat slowly. Let's see how much alcohol this has. According to this, it's 13.5% alcohol by volume. And, okay. So, apparently, Tanasi makes some very nice Veronese wines, according to the according to Wine Store's website. And apparently means they're masters. Amarone, Valpolicella, and the like, this sort of thing. According to what they're saying the alcohol isn't as lofty as with an Amarone. And so it's like a baby Amarone with 100% Corvina. They're saying that's the best grape of the region. I'll go with that. Now it is kind of a medium-bodied wine, and it does, you know what, this one does have a little bit of sediment in it. I don't think any of that's from the cork, because sometimes when I pull these things in, I get little pieces of cork in there, but that's not pieces of cork, that's just sediment. I have had that happen a few times. You know, there's a bit of sediment in there, a little bit. Okay, and smell a little bit of blackberry. After the first whiff, it doesn't seem, it kind of gets in there, and I kind of lose it after the first whiff. I can't really detect as much. Give it a taste. Not too tannic. No, actually, it's not. It's dry. Some tannins, not very tannic. Has an as a nice finish. It's I think I want to drink some more of this. Yeah, I think this. I gotta agree with him. I think this makes a good wine for a dinner party. And I think it probably is a good burger wine. But we're gonna try it with in a minute or two. We're gonna try it with a little steak and see how that works. I will say that it is. I think it's. I don't know. I think it's a little more full-bodied than I thought it was at first. I think it's aged pretty well. Let's see what if there's anything else on the back of this label. Not much. Just the government warnings and contains sulfites and all that good stuff they usually put on these things. Let's see what kind of a pit it has on the bottom. It has a fairly deep pit, so apparently it's bottled for a little bit longer term shelf life. And according to this, let's see, we have a little label here on the front. Apparently, I don't read Italian, so apparently it is some sort of an award or mark of distinction on this wine. It has a 96 on it, so. I'm assuming, you know, I see that a lot on I see that a lot on some wines, like if you get the Barefoot wine in the local store or something, and you'll see it has like a best in class and a 94, 96 or whatever. I don't know. I'll be honest. I've seen some wines that have those kind of labels on them, and I didn't like them much. So maybe somebody thought highly out of them. I think it's a little bit more marketing hype than anything else. I know they do a lot of wine competitions of various sorts, and everybody gets their wines rated. But I think some of that, you know, I'm starting to wonder in the wine industry if some of that is a little bit more contrived for marketing than anything else. Now, I'm not saying that that's all bogus at all. I mean, there are people that take this very seriously. They go to school. They get some serious training on becoming wine tasters and wine pairers and the whole like. I mean, there's a whole science to wine. Don't get me wrong. I'm not belittling that, but I just wonder if in at least a few cases with the wine industry that, you know, just how much of this labeling of you know, best in show kind of thing, as I like to call it, is how much of it is real and how much of it is more marketing than anything else. And I guess maybe it's me, because maybe I've just become so jaded being a marketer myself, having been in the business of marketing and I'm there now. That's kind of what I do. My day job. I am the marketing guy there, pretty much. And when I see things like this, I guess over the years, I've just learned to sort of not take too much of it seriously, because I know that there's so much out there that is just hype and more than what's real. I'll say this though, I don't know really, because I can't read the Italian on it. I don't really know how valid this 96 number is. And you know, come to think of it, I'm not going to turn the bottle upside down. I've done that once before on the show too, almost. But if you flip this around upside down, it still looks like it says 96. So I guess either way you look at it, it's a top tier wine in its class, I suppose. But I will say this: so far, And I haven't had enough of it yet to really tell, because you really want to get down to the bottom of the bottle. Not the bottom. I don't plan to drink it all tonight, okay? But, you know, down into the bottle, it does seem to be a really nice wine. I like this wine so far. I'll just say that. Now, according, there's supposed to be a little bit of cherry in here. I'll say that I love cherry. I really haven't smelled or tasted a whole lot of cherry. The blackberry, yes. Blackberry, yes. Maybe it could be a little black cherry or something, but I'm not really getting that. I'm not getting too many other flavors out of this either. It doesn't seem that complex. It seems like a rather simple. And it's not really oaky. As I said before, it's not real tannic. I say it's kind of a medium dry. It's definitely not a sweet wine. It's kind of a medium dry wine. It does have kind of a nice flavor to it. It does go down pretty well. It has a fairly nice finish. So I think it is. It's a pretty decent wine. Definitely not the worst I've had. I wouldn't say this is in the same sort of wine that we did last week. What did we do last week? It was the Brick Mason. The Brick Mason I actually liked and very, very much. And it was a nice wine. And that one was somewhat tannic, I believe, if I recall correctly. But this one is actually, I think it's a slightly different class, but it's still nonetheless a pretty good wine, I'd say, in my opinion. And it does have a little bit lower alcohol content than some of the others we tried too. So maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. Anyway, let's try this with... Let's try this with a little bit of steak. I have a little bit, and I pulled it out of the fridge. It's our leftover from dinner. I had it with the steak with the, we had a very interesting meal tonight. And the steak is very good, by the way. My wife, she marinated it. I haven't had enough of this yet. She marinated the steak. And it turned out really well. See, this steak has a bit of smokiness to it that this lacks. I don't know that it goes very well with the steak that's been grilled like that, that's been marinated. It's an interesting mix. I'll have to say that. It is an interesting mix between the steak and it. It's not bad. Actually, I might try another piece of that. The steak was good. And it's not often I have steak up here on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. In fact, I think this is the first time I've done it. The steak is very good. Here I'm reviewing the steak. It's not bad. I mean, it's okay. I think, though, that it probably would pair pretty well with a burger. Yeah, it's all right. I think it'd pair well. I'll try a little bit of cheese here. This is a cheddar. I kind of wanted to play it straight and just go, you know, play it safe. Not do anything too fancy with the cheese tonight. I've made that mistake before on the wine stream too. It's an okay cheese wine, but I don't know that would really pair it with cheese per se, but it's okay. It's all right. Dinner party, if you have finger foods like cheese or maybe some hors d'oeuvres or something, this might be all right with it. But it's not probably better on its own in a dinner party, frankly. Just in my opinion. That's just my opinion. And once again, I am not a wine expert. I am learning some things about wine. As a matter of fact, I picked up a copy of Wine Bible, the Wine Bible, and I got that from Amazon. I've been reading it on my Kindle, and I'm still, I've just started going through it, but it really seems well written, and the author put in a lot of time. I think it took her like 10 years to write that book. I've just started going through it. As I go through it some more, I'll review the book, and that might be something to recommend as well if the book is really good. Now, as far as the, what else did I have here? As far as wine books are concerned, I do have a couple up on my website right now that are sort of affiliate, and I'm saying that for full disclosure because I'm trying to help kind of cover some of the costs of buying all this wine every week. Trust me, I'm not getting rich on this. Nowhere even close. But if I can help maybe offset some of the costs of the wines that I'm reviewing and some of the things I'm doing on the wine stream every week, I really a little bit helped. So these are books that I'm looking at and I'm checking out and that so far I've liked and that I'm not going to recommend anything that I don't necessarily like or that I wouldn't try myself. So if you get up on my website and you see these, if you're interested, it would help. Every little bit helps. But I'm not saying you have to go out and do something because you certainly don't. But I think, at least in the case of the Wine Bible, it looks like a very good very good book. I would say that's probably a safe one to go with, at least for the moment. This wine, it's growing on me some more, and it's actually it's not too bad with the cheese. I have a little chicken here too, but I don't think this is going to go very well with chicken, to be honest. Would not be my first choice. I think a cracker is probably safe with it. I mean, crackers are generally safe with just about anything. I'm going to take one now to clear my palate. Let's see if we have anyone in the chat. Now I'm doing this directly on my Facebook page, so I don't know if anybody's really catching this thing live. Normally, I do it from my own page. So if anybody's watching and they're catching it, give me a shout out. Let me know. Let me know because to be honest, I can't really I can't really tell at the moment who's out there except. If you are on the page and you comment or you're in the chat on that page, you know, give me a shout out. Let me know you're there. As far as YouTube is concerned, as I said before, I don't think anybody chats on YouTube. I think they just watch passively. And I do get people watching. I have some people watching in YouTube, but... Really, to be honest, this is kind of a standard thing. A lot of people don't chat on YouTube. They go in and just watch and maybe make a comment later or something like that, but generally not chatting. Facebook, though, usually if they're watching, they'll jump in. I know it's kind of late in the evening for this. Oh, come on, let's be honest. It's never really too late for wine, right? Unless it's a work night. Now, it's on a work night. Don't be drinking in the night before going into work. I don't really recommend that. That usually doesn't turn out too well in the mornings, at least in my case. So I generally don't do that much. But it's a Saturday night. And, of course, if you're working on Sunday, then... I would say, yeah, that's something to consider. But For me, I'm off tomorrow, and it's Father's Day. And look, fathers out, all you fathers out there, you know what? I think this would make an okay Father's Day wine. It really would. If you just want to sit back and relax, if you're really into to having a nice wine on Father's Day, and you know, it's a good day to go do some grilling, to relax. If not into wine, beer. Father's Day is that's our day, folks, and that's my day to go get a nap, because that's probably what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, maybe, if I can get one. Anyway, I really need a nap, because it's been a pretty busy weekend so far. In fact, one of the reasons that it took me so long to get the wine stream together here tonight is because we were pretty busy today. I didn't have a whole lot of the day to do any prep for any of this. Let's see, Friday night, I took a half a day off from work to go up to Advent Co-working up in Charlotte, uptown, because we had a podcast movement meetup. As you know, I'm into podcasting, and Podcast Movement is going to be in August in Orlando, and Tommy and I were not really sure that we would really be able to make it. We're still sort of discussing what our options are, but this is an opportunity, since the Podcast Movement folks were going to be there for the meetup. This was an opportunity for us to go up there and meet with them and meet and greet and do a little networking with other podcasters, especially podcasters in the Charlotte area. And got to meet up with them, and we had a great time. Met a lot of new people. We did a bit of networking, and it was fun. It was fun. It was a bit of a drive for us. Tommy was working. I had to wait for him to get off work, and then he didn't get off till 5:30. Of course, it was rush hour, so we got there a little bit late. But we were still there in plenty of time to get some, you know, to meet up with a lot of people. We got to meet Jared Easley, the co-founder, co-organizer of Podcast Movement, and that was great. I'm one of the moderators on the Podcast Movement Facebook group, and so I've interacted with Jared quite a bit, but it was the first time to actually meet him in person, and that was an honor. I really enjoyed that, and I'm hoping to actually see him again if we can get down to Podcast Movement. I would look forward to seeing him again. And Jared, if you're watching tonight, just want to give you a shout out and say we had a great time. Tommy and I both did. We really enjoyed meeting with you and all the other podcasters there. And I just want to say thanks for the opportunity to do that. Now, so that was Friday night. We got back in the evening, Friday evening, about 8:30 or so, or 9 o'clock. We were pretty tired from that whole day. And then we got up early this morning and went to Heroes Con up in uptown Charlotte. Now, here's the thing. Going uptown to Charlotte just wears me out right then and there, because I'm not a big fan of inner city stuff. I'm not, you know, going into town, into big cities. I really don't like that for several reasons. And one of the main reasons is the drive in there with all the fighting, all the traffic. And then, of course, you have to look for a place to park or you know, pay for parking or whatever most of the time. And it's just a huge hassle. And it's also congested up there. And of course, you got to worry about the crime, because all cities have the security issues and that sort of thing. And it's just I don't know. It's just a big hassle for me to ever drive up there. So I never really like driving into town, especially uptown in Charlotte. Charlotte's it's kind of a mess anyway around that area right now. All the construction they're doing with I-77 and all that kind of stuff, and so I try to avoid uptown as much as possible. And the kind of whole attitude of uptown anyway. I'm in South Charlotte, so we have all the didn't mean to get into a long thing about this, but we basically have the responsibilities of being part of the town without many of the benefits. I guess I'll put it that way. In other words, we have all the taxes to pay and that sort of thing. We don't get, you know, for what happens uptown, but we really don't get a whole lot of the benefits from it. So I'm not a big fan of in-town Charlotte myself, never have been. But, and I know there's some people, and I don't want to, you know, I hope it doesn't offend any uptown crowd charlatans, but that's, I'm just not into it, the whole uptown thing. But so we made one trip up there for the podcast movement meetup, which I was okay with, because I'm going up there for a specific event, and it was worthwhile, so that was okay. But then of course we go up there the next day, the next morning for HeroesCon. Now HeroesCon is an annual comic book convention held locally by one of the big comics book stores here, and that's a pretty huge. It's kind of like a little small version, a really small version of a Comic-Con, like, you know, would you find out in California, or maybe like a really small version of Dragon-Con out in Atlanta. But it's a fair size, you know, for Charlotte anyway. It's a pretty fair size convention. And so we went there because my son Tommy and his friend Nick, you know, they do a podcast. They do the Cube Command podcast, where they talk about gaming and pop culture and things like that. So they were going to go down or up there to cover the event. So we did that, and we did that. We went around and gave out some Cube Command cards, button swag, things like that, and got to meet some people out there. But it was pretty exhausting. We got done. We were talking about staying there till about 6, and I think by around 2 o'clock we were all pretty much spent. We were pretty much ready to go home. We were tired. So we headed on back home, and I tried to get a little bit of a nap here this afternoon. Didn't really happen much, but wow, I was just I was pretty tired. So I got my second wind now, and good thing too, because I'm drinking this, and I'm spending some time with you, drinking with me. And I hope that if you're joining me now, I hope that you do drink with me. Get out your favorite beverage, and definitely don't drink and drive or anything like that. But if you're at home in your hotel room, wherever you are for the night that you're staying put, I hope you have a bottle open. Or your favorite libation, whatever it is, and you're drinking right along. And this is a wine that, as I go down into the bottle, it is not, it's not bad. So I'll have a little bit more. Okay, well, and by the way, I was going to mention, you know, I got these buttons. Oh, here it is. I got this button from my friend and coworker Taylor. She does that on the sign. I mentioned this last week, and I want to show you this. She makes these. She makes the buttons. She's the button gnome, and I asked her to make some of these for me. You know, she did at a very reasonable price, and they turn out really well. Really like these. So I took my buttons home and I showed them off to Tommy. And Tommy really liked that. He thought, well, the buttons are cool. And he needed something for HeroesCon this weekend because he wanted to give out some stuff at HeroesCon while he was there. So he said, have Taylor make some of these for me. So, so he had her make some of these. She did those, and those came out. I don't know if you can see them really well because I don't have a photo of it. But she made these for his Cube Command podcast, and he gave out some of those at Heroes Con, and people really liked him, and and they're really nice. They turned out really, really well. He was very, very pleased with it. He was very happy with the way buttons turned out. I think he's going to order some more here shortly from her, as he's depleted his given out a lot of his buttons. So she's probably going to be getting. So Taylor, if you're watching, and I get ready, because I think Tommy's going to send you another order for these very, very soon. And we really appreciate it. Anyway, if you're a podcaster, if you're anybody that's doing marketing or anything, you know, buttons are kind of a fun thing to do. You know, and there are people that collect buttons. There are a lot of people. There's kind of a big button collection thing that goes on. It's kind of a thing. And I kind of knew that before. I know there are people that collect buttons. I've known people that have collected buttons over the years. That's kind of what they do, is they go around different places, different events, and whatever, and they collect buttons, which I never really, to be honest, I never really saw the fascination with collecting buttons. But I shouldn't really say that, because I have a box of buttons somewhere that I've collected over the years. But there are people out there that take buttons, and they will put up boards or panels or whatever on the wall with all their buttons on them. And I've seen this. I know people who do this. And it's kind of a passion for them. It's kind of a fun thing. You know, everybody, a lot, you know, people collect all kinds of things. But button collecting is kind of fun for a lot of people. And I can see that. I can see that that's kind of cool. So, and I've seen people walking around wearing a lot of buttons. So, you know, at certain events, I'll see people walking around with shirts on that just have buttons all over their person, all over their shirts and pants and their hats and that kind of thing. So for some people, it's a really big deal. So buttons are pretty cool. People save buttons. I mean, it's not the sort of thing that really that goes out of style, and it's not the sort of thing that people just kind of throw away. You know, you see a button, they save it and they hang it up. So that's actually, now that I thought about it, and when we were at PodFest, we saw there were people with buttons at PodFest, other podcasters giving them out, and it occurred to me. I said, buttons are kind of a good idea for a promotional item, because, you know, there are some promotional items that people will toss when they get home. People throw away business cards. I've seen people throw away business cards and stuff after they get them. Now, I generally don't do that, and I got a stack of business cards that's constantly growing. But I know a lot of people throw out flyers and stuff like that. You get the flyers, you get home, toss them out after a few weeks and not really look at them. Flyers, but a button is something that people say, this is worth saving. And the collectors, as I mentioned before, that makes a really good promotional item. And especially if you have a brand, or if you're trying to develop a brand that people can recognize, or that people can grab hold on. I got that was another thing. When we were there at Heroes Con, a local TV station, WCCB, they had a thing going where the Plinko game, whatever it is, you know, you put the oversized, looks like an oversized, poker chip, and you lay it down there and you see if you win something. And they had a lot of swag out there on their tables to give away to the winners. And T and I were stood in line because we were bored. We were just, we were waiting for the guys to get done with what they were doing and come by. So we had nothing better to do. So we stood in line and just played for fun. And we each won something. And so picking out the item that the promotional item that was there, I saw one that was a flashlight. It was a little tiny flashlight, and of course they run the TV show The Flash, the CW show, and I'm not promoting it, by the way. I'm just mentioning it. And they had a flashlight with The Flash. Now come on, that's an obvious promotional thing. The Flash flashlight. It was cute. It really was. But, you know, people are going to hang on to something like that. It's not like a flyer. If they had a poster or a flyer with the flash on it, you know, who knows what will happen to that. It'll get rolled up, put in the closet somewhere. Someday somebody will toss it out, whatever. But you get a flashlight. It's something's useful. It can be useful. You know, it was a keychain flashlight, basically. Things like buttons, things like, you know, the thing is, the flash, that was a known, it's a popular show. It's a known brand, more or less. So that made sense to put the flash on a flashlight. That made perfect sense. And it was cute as a promotional item. Well, if you have brands, that's the kind of thing you want to put your brand on, something that people are going to hang on to, they're going to notice, that's going to kind of fit in with the promotional item. And I've bought a lot of promotional items over the years. Now, once again, being in the marketing business myself, being a marketer myself, so to speak, I've purchased a lot of promotional items, and that's one of the things I do in my day job is I – you know, we'll get promotional items, and I mean, I'll choose promotional items. We'll say, hey, this would be good for an item. Put our brand on, and we'll make a purchase, and we'll give them away, and people love them, and you know, it's all good. But we have a brand, so we brand those items, and that helps them people remember the brand. In the case of the buttons, you know, if you have a brand or you're trying to develop a brand that you want to have, expand, I should say, or to get out in front of as many eyeballs as possible. Something like a button is actually a pretty good way to go because, once again, a lot of people save these buttons. They look at them all the time. They wear them. So if it's a branding thing, like I wouldn't put big long slogans on a little tiny button like this. I mean, maybe cute things that sayings or quotes or things like that maybe, but I wouldn't put long slogans or that sort of thing on them. But if you've got a good logo like this one, a good logo branding, and of course I've got mine. This pretty much sums it up, right? The Drink with Rick. That pretty much says it all, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, I haven't done enough drinking, so let's drink with Rick for a moment. Cheers. But if you've got you're trying to develop a good brand, or you've got a good brand, these are cool. These are a good way to go. And my friend Taylor, who is the button gnome, she has she can do these up right for you. I would highly recommend her. If you've got a podcast or something else that you're trying to develop your brand, it's a no-brainer. Anyway, I was going to say her website. She has an Etsy page. It's her Etsy page where you can order the buttons from her, and you can see them in action. She's got a cool little video where she shows how she makes the buttons. But it's available at etsy.com/shop/. Let me make sure I've got that right. Where is it? Here we go. /buttongnome. etsy.com/shop/buttongnome. GNOME. Like a little gnome. Gnome in the yard or whatever. So this was pretty cool. Anyway, I went on really long on that. I didn't really mean to go off on a tangent with it, but the reason I mention it is because I've seen so many people, so many marketers, podcasters say, you know, I can put my brand on anything and it's going to work. And that's not necessarily the case. If you're going to be marketing something, you sort of have to pair up the right item, you know, the right item for your logo, and that's going to kind of fit what you're doing and fit your brand. Like the flash light, that's cool, that works. Some of the things that we've done at the company I work for. We put our logo on, say like so we sell two-way radios. So we have a lot of radios that are that support USB for charging. So we'll have USB chargers and AC to USB adapters that will have the logo on, and they're popular with customers because it's something useful. First of all, it's something useful that they can actually use. And second, it's something that they can actually use with the product that we sell. Huh? So, you know, we sell the product and here's a freebie item that we can give to them. It's a value add that, you know, they can use with the product that they purchased from us. And third, they're going to remember us because it's not like a flyer or something they're going to toss away. It's something they're going to use for a long time to come. Hopefully, you know, they'll use it for years. I remember going to Dragon Con and getting a free USB adapter from the local, I'm not going to mention the name, but the local cable company there, the cable TV company. And I remember the cable TV company because I see that logo all the time every time I use that little USB adapter. And I used it a lot. It came in very handy. That's a cool free item. People grab those free items, but they'll remember you because every time they use it, if they use it a lot, they're going to see your name or your company name or your company logo or your company brand on that item. So, you know, that's why certain, it's a matter of pairing up the right promotional item with the right brand or the right product that you have to kind of pair those up. Kind of like pairing up the nice wine with a nice cheese or a nice meat or something like that. They need to sort of complement each other. See what I did there? May that turn that around. It's kind of a marketing thing too sometimes. So we did the podcast movement meetup. We went to Heroes Con, which was actually very interesting. Very interesting. But I'll have to say that I'm kind of glad I'm done with Heroes Con this year because it was very exhausting. It was very exhausting. So Father's Day is coming up tomorrow, and I'll be honest, I don't make a big deal about stuff for myself. Mother's Day, I love to do things for Chi for Mother's Day. Her birthday's coming up soon, so I'm you know, want to make some plans for that some way somehow. I like doing things like that for other people, and when the kids have their birthdays or friend's birthday or an anniversary or that sort of thing. Oh, if it's she's in my anniversary, then, you know, I want to make sure that's kind of special. But for myself, I'm not, you know, for my own birthday, and I've told them don't make a big deal about my birthday, and they always do every year, of course, and I really love them for that, and I do appreciate it. But birthdays to me, you know, to be honest, once again, I'm at that age where I'd really rather not think about my birthday much, because if I'm thinking about my birthday, I'm realizing I'm another year older and that I'm not that much older than I was before. And I really prefer not to dwell on that. I'd really rather, if I could, I'd rather just stay like 2 years younger than I am now, and a few years younger than I am now. And let's just call it that, you know, let's not have any more birthdays. I figure that if I don't have any more birthdays, I can't get any older, right? Doesn't work that way, of course, I know that. But unless you're dead or something, and I don't want that, that would not be cool. But, as far as living my life, I would rather it'd be just fine if I wasn't even counting my birthdays, because people could say, well, how old are you? And I could just say, well, I'm as old as I am, and that's about it. And it's as old as I feel, and how old do I act? And that's what I told the lady at the con today. Went up there to buy my ticket, and there was a sign there. There was a sign posted that said, it was $25 to get into this thing, the Heroes Con, $25, which is a little bit pricey in my opinion, but yeah, you know, that is what it is. It's $25 I'll never see again. So that's no point crying over that. But yeah, the sign said $25, 18 and under free. And that floored me because I went, wait a minute, if you're 18 and under, you get in free? And now my son looks about 19. His friend's older than that. His friend looks about 19, 20. Tia looks like she's 16, so she could have gotten in easily. She could have gotten in easily if she hadn't said anything. But Tia, being as honest as she is, she said, "No, I'm 21," and she paid a ticket. But I'm thinking about this, and I went up to the lady. I said, "Look, I'm over 21. I may be an adult, but I don't act like one." And she looked at me real serious. I was just joking with her. I said, "I'm an adult, but I don't act like one. So, do I get in free?" She was so serious that she looked at me and she said, "You better act like an adult in this place." I said, "If you're not acting like an adult, they're not going to let you stay." So I thought, okay, I guess she told me. So I paid my $25 and went in and said, "I guess I better act my age." I can tell you this, though. There were plenty of people there that were my age and some of them older that definitely were not acting their age. I mean, look, I'm really sorry. The cosplay thing and everything aside, but you get people walking in there dressed up I don't even want to say it. Look, if you are not fit enough to fit in a Batman suit, you shouldn't be wearing a Batman suit, if you know what I mean. There's just some costumes some people shouldn't wear. Let me just put it that way. I'll try to be diplomatic about it. And I don't mean this really, I don't mean to be insulting anybody, but you kind of have to fit. It's really best to fit, to complement, I guess, your figure rather than call attention to your figure. If you don't have the figure that's fit for it, yeah, I guess that's what I should say. Is that diplomatic enough? I don't know any other way to put it. Look, I am not a spring chicken, and I am not I don't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger from 30 years ago. I'm just not. I'm not a bodybuilder. I'm this is who I am. So knowing this, who I am not going to dress up as I'm not going to dress up as the Flash. I'm not going to dress up as the Hulk or I'm not going to dress up as Spider-Man or any of these other characters. I mean, I would make kind of a fat Boba Fett. You know what I mean? I would dress up as Boba Fett anyway. There are other characters I would dress up as if I was going to do that, and I'm not going to do that. But I hope that puts that into a little bit of perspective of what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to be nice about it, but let me just say that if you're not, if you don't have the physique for Superman, if you don't have the physique for Superman, don't dress up as Superman. I mean that in the sense that, if you've been to the buffet bar way too many times, to be, to be Superman, to fit in a Superman suit, please don't try to put one on, because it's not going to be flattering. It really isn't. And I saw a lot of that today, and I saw a lot of weird, just weird stuff that I really wish I could forget. It burned into my brain that I can't really, stuff you can't unsee, you know what I mean? So, and I know it's supposed to be a fun event, and I'm not trying to shame anybody. But you kind of want to, it's kind of like the promotion thing is what we're getting back, full circle. You know, you don't want to pick out a promotional item to put your brand on if your brand doesn't fit that item. I guess that's really what I'm kind of trying to say. You know, if your brand doesn't fit what you're putting it on, don't put it on. I'll leave it there. I don't know. Anyway, I'm still reeling from that. And maybe a good night's rest will kind of help put that out of sight and out of mind. Anyway, so tomorrow's Father's Day. And if you're listening to the podcast, or if you're watching this live stream well after Father's Day, I hope you had a happy Father's Day. And for all those who are joining me live right now, I hope you have a happy Father's Day tomorrow. If you're a dad or a granddad or soon to be dad or a dad or granddad or soon to be dad, here's to you. I did toast the moms as well. Mother's Day, if I recall correctly, we did some things for Mother's Day too. And you know, they have Grandparents' Day. To be honest, I don't remember when that is. It's sometime. And I wish I still have my grandparents with me on both sides of the family. I do miss my grandparents, particularly my grandparents on my mind side. My grandfather on my dad's side was kind of an aloof individual. Much like my dad was, somewhat aloof. So I never really had much of a relationship with him. But my grandparents, my grandmother and grandfather on my mother's side, I felt very close to, and I had a long history with that was very good. I have very fond memories of both of them, and I do miss them. I do miss them a lot. Every day. Sometimes I think, you know, as a matter of fact, have you ever had dreams of someone that you haven't seen for a long time, somebody that you miss, and a dream of a loved one who passed away, and you dream about in your dream they're still alive and you're seeing them again, and you're really excited to see them, and you're telling them about all the things that have happened since you last saw them or since they passed away, you're just catching up. And it's just a pleasant dream. Those are the kind of dreams that I've had with, you know, really in relation to my grandparents. And I dream about them from time to time, especially my grandfather. Occasionally I will have a dream about my grandfather Jones, and it's this sort of thing where, you know, talking to him and catching up I miss my grandparents. I really do. And they were good people. If my sisters aren't in the chat tonight, I don't think, you know, as a matter of fact, I don't think anybody is really catching me on my personal page, because the way I set this up was completely different from the way I normally set this up. So I don't know what to do about that at this point, because we're so far into the stream. And I think it's almost time to, I've been running this for a while anyway, so who knows. I don't think it's going to do any good at this point. But if they're watching, if my sister's watching, I think they'll understand. They'll know what I'm talking about because my grandparents, Jones, on my mom's side, they were really nice people, and we were all very fond of them. We really were. And they had a beach house in Flagler Beach, Florida. I pretty much spent the first 2 years of my life there. My sister Gina, she was first born. She spent about the first year of her life there, I believe, too. And my dad was attending, attending college in Gainesville. And I have a lot of fond memories of their home and time on the beach and time with them. And their house, when my grandfather passed away, and he sold his house just before he passed away. When he passed away, it was rather sad to drive by there. I've been by there a few times since then, and it brings back some memories. But it's rather sad because I really kind of wish that we had kept the house in the family. That was one of those. It's one of those properties that I really wish we had kept, and I don't know who owns it now. And last time I drove by, it was in somewhat in disrepair. So I really don't know if anybody owns it or who owns it if anyone does. But I kind of wish that we kept it around and kept it up because those are some good memories of my early childhood, and to me that was the first home. That was the first memories of home that I had. That was very special. And in fact, we've driven by it a few times, and it really does. It really does. Still, yeah. You ever do that? Yeah, you've ever gone by your childhood home? And you can't go back. They say you can't go back, and you can't really. But you can in a way. I mean, you go back to your childhood home and or where you grew up, and you know, for some people, they're fortunate enough that their family still own that home, or their parents may still live in that home, or maybe that's been passed down to them. I have a childhood friend who still lives in the home, at least last time I checked, he still lives in the home that he was born and grew up in, and his parents own, and it was passed down to him. And that's always been home to me. That's some serious stability that I guess I've been a little envious of, in a way, because I've never had that kind of stability in my home life, as far as my years growing up is concerned. But that's if you've got that, if you're one of those people that are in that position where you have the home that your family's owned for a generation or two or many generations, or that you've grown up it with and you still live and you have for you're raising your children in, or you have raised your children in, that's kind of special. That's really special, and I commend you for that. And that's definitely something worth having, you know. And because of that, I can understand why some people, like you've had, you look at some of these news stories about people who have been forced out of their homes by eminent domain, or looking at facing that kind of situation where they're forced out of their home for one reason or another, or having to move, or having to sell their house and move, that they've had in their family for a long time, for many generations. I can certainly understand that, how the feelings, because you've got that strong bond. I mean, that's your place. That's, you know, it's part of you. And you take that away, and it's a part of you that you can't get back. So I can certainly understand that. And on the flip side, I understand, you know, things happen and people move on. Sometimes people have to move on for one reason or another. But it doesn't really take away the fact that history has been there, and you know, it still hurts. But sometimes you have to deal with that sort of thing. Sometimes it has. The house we live in now, this is probably the longest we've ever lived in any house. It's 12 years this year. I don't know how long we'll have this house, or whether we'll keep it. I'm kind of torn because we worked so hard to keep this house and to maintain it. But I don't know, she and I, as we get older, as our kids move, or as our kids grow up and move away, this is going to be a lot of house for us, and we really need something. We're probably at some point we're going to need to downsize and do something that we can manage as we get older. And that's something that I'm torn with, because this has been our home for 12 years. But at the same time, I realize that, you know what, maybe at some point in time we do have to consider moving down. I mean, we can't, as we get really old, we may not be able to go up and down the stairs as we used to be able to do, and maybe it's a little bit too much house for us to keep up with. So those are some hard decisions that have to be made. Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but how much of this wine? Not enough. I really haven't gone very far down in this bottle, believe it or not. So maybe I'll have a little bit more, do about half of it, and then we'll call it quits for the evening. I hope you're having a good weekend. I hope your weekend isn't stressful. I need to go out and mow my lawn, but it's Father's Day tomorrow. Who in the world, who in their right mind is going to make their dad go out and mow the lawn on Father's Day? Isn't that supposed to be the day where your father can your dad can kind of take a break, get a rest? I hope my wife thinks so, because I don't feel like going out and doing it tomorrow. Maybe I can say, hey, honey, can I, I'm planning a nap tomorrow. Tomorrow's Father's Day, so I shouldn't have to go out and mow the lawn. Right. The honey-do list still there, Father's Day or no Father's Day. But look, as far as Father's Day is concerned, and I know how I got off on that tangent initially because I was talking about birthdays and things. But as far as Father's Day is concerned, I feel much the same way about Father's Day as I do about my birthday. It's all fun. It's all good. But I don't necessarily need a special day to know that I have people who love me and that care about me, people that I love very much, who I love very much and care about very much, and who mean the world to me. And that's good enough for me. I mean, you don't have to buy me anything fancy. You don't have to go out and take me out to a nice dinner or anything like that. You know what I really like? Just a nice afternoon nap. But aside from that, I just want to have my family around. That's all. I want to have my family there, safe and in good health, and there knowing that my family is nearby and that I can spend some time with them, and that's what's important to me, more important than a Hallmark card that says Happy Father's Day that was probably written by somebody in a closet, somebody in a closet somewhere that just has to come up with four or five different phrases or poems in an hour to put on Hallmark cards. I don't know. The meat, definitely good. My wife is an excellent cook. The meat with the wine, hmm. I'm still a little bit up in the air about that. I think it's okay. The right meat, though. Burger is okay. I wouldn't get too, once again, I wouldn't get too smoky with this. In other words, if you like to put a lot of that smoke sauce on your burgers like I used to do before she said, stop, that's carcinogenic. If it's not too smoky, if it's like burger meat or something like that, it's probably fine. If it's really, really smoky meat, I would maybe go with something, maybe a wine that's maybe go with the Brick Mason or the Frico, something like that. Or maybe go with let's see. I guess these two are good for that. That's probably the best choice. Anyway, I hope you have a great Father's Day, and I'm planning to. If I get my nap, it'll be a great one because I'm going to need my nap, and it's about time to end the stream for the night. And I really enjoyed it, as I always do. Once again, as long as I enjoy doing the stream, I'm going to keep doing it. Once it stops being fun, I'm going to stop doing the stream. But you know, before you go, I'm going to mention a couple of things. I did a couple of things with the, and I'm doing this a little bit as I go along, for fun. But I am doing some things with the studio to try to streamline the stream, the wine stream, so to speak. I moved some things up to the lights, got rid of a lot of the light stands and things like that. So everything's up where I have more room. We actually have more room in the studio now. Tommy came in, took a look at it, and so did Tia. And he goes, oh, wow, it looks like a real studio now. And I'm like, thanks. We've got some other things coming. I've got some things ordered for the backdrop and everything like that. We're gonna clean this up a bit and make it really, you know, give it some class. And I think the next thing after that, I'm gonna try to fix these cameras so I can get my multicam system back again, and then we'll be able to do more pictures, different live shots of the wine and everything else that we're doing. I hope and once again, I'm doing this really kind of just on my own. I'm not asking for donations for anything. I'm just kind of doing it a little bit of time as I can afford it, because I can't afford to go out and spend a lot of money on putting up a big fancy studio setup to do a wine stream on Saturday night. And trust me, I really can't justify that anyway. But if I can do a little bit of time, a little bit here, a little bit there, as you go along, I think what you might find is if you look at the very first episode of this wine stream, A Drink with Rick, and then say you look at the 25th one I do, by the time we get there, then it hopefully will look completely different. It'll look more like a nice, you know, basically how I envisioned it from the beginning. So I'm looking forward to that. But it's just happening a little bit at a time. If you notice, each week you see a few changes. You see a few subtle changes. And that's what I'm doing to get there. This whole thing is an experiment, by the way. This all of this is an experiment in streaming. I've been podcasting. As a matter of fact, I've been podcasting for 13 years. Congratulations, me. This month. 13 years this month. And if you're watching this for the first time, if you're just listening to my podcast and this is the first thing you've ever heard, you're saying, oh man, what an amateur. This sounds, this doesn't sound like anything really that a 13-year veteran of podcasting would put out. Well, that's essentially the idea. That's the point of this. As a podcaster, I've never really been high profile. I've always tried to keep a low profile in that respect because my interest in podcasting To a point, I've wanted to monetize it, of course, like a lot of people do. But my thing with podcasting has been more experimentation. I wanted to see where I could take it and what I could do with it, how far I could go with it. And as the saying goes, there are no rules in podcasting. And I've been testing that out. I've been testing that out for 13 years and saying, okay, there are no rules in podcasting. I'm just going to make it up as I go along, make up my own rules. Anything goes. Try a lot of different things. I've tried a lot of different things. Most of what I've done up until this point, almost everything else I've done to this point, has been very regimented, been either very, very tightly scripted, has been loosely scripted and very, very well planned. This is the first time that I've done something completely different. This is off the cuff. I'm just starting a stream, letting it roll, seeing what happens. Stream of consciousness. That's all. Total stream of consciousness. Now, yeah, I've got a few show notes here, and I've only started doing that the last couple of weeks because there are so many things that I've wanted to say during the week that I think, you know, I'd like to say it, and then I forget about it. And then when it comes time to do the stream, it's like, oh, what was it that I was going to do or say, and I don't remember. And then I later on, I come back and say, oh, man, I wish I'd mentioned that. So I do have some show notes, but they're just simple notes just to, so that I can remember some things I wanted to remember to mention to you. And the rest of it, as you can tell from tonight, as I've gone on and on, and I've gone off on different tangents. Hopefully I haven't bored you too much with it. As I've gone off on different tangents, you can tell it's not a regimented show. And that's what I'm trying out. I'm just trying this stuff out, just to play around. And this is something I'm doing for fun right now, just to see how far I can take it, where I can go with it. My first two podcasts, the first ones that I did, was a show that was originally scripted for radio, and it actually aired on radio, on a local radio station. And I repurposed it into a podcast. It was very tightly scripted. And my second one, my second podcast, for those who know the Force Field, for the IT service providers, that was also very tightly scripted. And I didn't, except for maybe the interviews, but even the interviews, I knew exactly what I wanted to say. I had questions written down. And, you know, we deviate from the questions a little bit sometimes, but for the most part, it was really tightly scripted, very tightly edited. So it was a very, very polished show for the time, very polished. And I know because people would come back and tell me, your show is very polished, almost too polished. And some of the other stuff I've done since then. Yes, I was the Jobcaster, Jobcast Central, which is still up, but I've ended that series where I did Jobcasts and the Tech Jobcast. I produced some other podcasts for other people. Of course, the two-way radio show that I do on my day job, that's 8 years. That's not tightly scripted, but it is very. There are show notes that we adhere to an agenda, to, you know, in any case, it's a little bit more open dialogue, but it's still within very very controlled parameters. So everything that I've done up until this point has been very, very controlled. And this is the first thing that I've done that was just completely just me, push the button to record, talk, push the button to stop. And this has been very, very much an experiment in podcasting. Now, who knows where this will go? I don't know if it's going to go anywhere, to be honest. But it's just something fun I'm doing for the time being. So if you're thinking that, well, you know, I've been podcasting for 13 years, it sounds like you just started yesterday. You know what? That's fine. That's all good. Because I know where I've been. And if you heard any of my other shows, you might be shocked. You know, say, wow, he's completely different from his other podcasts. It's completely, completely different thing. Well, that's the point. That's what this is all about. I want to see, for once, I want to see if something like this will work. And if it doesn't, that's fine, you know. But if but I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to give the old college try and give it a while and see what happens, see what comes up with it. It's just something I'm doing for fun, okay, separate from everything else. So if you want to see something polished, listen to one of my other podcasts. If you just want to have a good time, sit back and drink wine, and this is in the back room, so to speak, and just off the cuff and just hanging out, this is the podcast that to watch or to listen to. Anyway, I'm going to finish off that glass. I think I'm going to cork this bottle for the night, because I think we're pretty much done. I hope everyone had a good time. I hope you had as good a time as I did. If you're watching, let me know. You know, I am on Twitter. We have at Drink with Rick. That's the Twitter. If you're on Twitter, tweet me. I'll tweet you back. I am easily accessible. Okay, I am not inaccessible. I'm not one of these stuffy, you know, TV or radio personalities or anything like that that are not accessible. I'm out there, and talk to me. You know, tell me what you think. Give me your comments. Tell me what you think about the show. If you have a wine, I really like, if you have a wine that you recommend that you think that would be good for me to try, tweet me. Give me the name of the wine. If you are on Facebook, you know, send me a message on Facebook. Post a comment here on Facebook. Tell me what you'd like for me to try, what you'd like to see me open up. It's, like I said, this is all for fun. If you, I'm on Instagram too. I haven't really developed the Instagram thing very much, but yeah, Drink with Rick is on Instagram as well. We're on Facebook, of course. You have the Facebook page. We have the website, drinkwithrick.com, and you can reach me there. The comments in there, there's a form that you can contact me there. Now, if you're a spammer, don't spam. Okay, no spammers. But I take a dim view of spammers. But you know, certainly you know, connect with me at drinkwithrick.com. You can also email me at rick@savoiamedia.com. That's rick@savoiamedia.com. I did a little bit slower this time, not because of the wine, because I just want to make sure you get the email address right. Because sometimes it's interesting, because my last name Savoia, it's Italian, Northern Italian. From Savoy. People get confused with that when they see the name, and it's very phonetic. You know, it's interesting. You know, people have mispronounced my name so many different ways, and not meaning to, but it's phonetic. If you read it slowly, Savoya, it's phonetic. It's not easy to screw up unless you really try, but you can reach me at rick@savoiamedia.com, SavoiaMedia.com. Until then, I'd like to wish all the dads, soon to be dads, and grandfathers and great grandfathers, whatever out there, a very happy Father's Day. Here's to you. And yes, to close it out, I do recommend this wine. I think it's a decent wine. If you like Italian wines that are, it's kind of a, it's an easy, this is an actually an easy wine to drink. I really think it is. It's a fairly easy wine to drink. If it's a very berry wine, strong on the blackberry, I think. If you don't like a wine that's very berry, this might not be the wine for you. If you like a wine that's not too tannic, this is a pretty good wine for you. So I would recommend this wine. And yes, I would recommend it for parties. I would recommend it for, yes, I would recommend it for the burgers. I'd recommend it with a hot dog. But you know what? I'd recommend this for just drinking at home with your significant other. And in a nice evening in front of the fireplace. Of course, in the summer, you probably don't have the fireplace going on. We're not running ours in the summertime, but it's a nice wine to drink. I probably wouldn't pair it with anything too smoky. I wouldn't pair it with a really really sharp cheese. I don't think. That's just me. That's just my opinion. Like I said, I am not a professional wine and food pairer-upper, okay? But I'm just telling you what I would drink it with and what I wouldn't drink it with. That's just what I wouldn't do. I'll drink some wines with just about anything, too. So, yeah, it's coming from me. Maybe I should have said that. But I don't eat. I don't just eat everything either. I'm very particular about what I eat. So, I recommend this wine. This is a good wine. And for at Wine Store, which is the actual website, and they do ship, as has been proven in the past, they do ship to some states and not others. So you'll have to check and see if they'll ship to your state. I know they ship to California. I know they do ship to California because I have shipped some wine out to California before. So it's but that would be at winestore-online.com. They're $14.99 a bottle, $15 a bottle. I have seen it. Vivino is putting it up. I think at $22. No, that's Fine Wine. Fine Wine has it at $21.98 a bottle. I don't know. I think Wine Store has it for, if there's a wine store in your area, I think, maybe they don't have it anymore. But they have had it for, no, they don't have the pricing either, but I'd say between about $15 and $23 a bottle, I'd say is about what that goes for, and it's about right. That's about the right price. I'd say I think $15 a bottle. That's a pretty good price for this wine. This is decent wine for that. Anyway, so I went on too long. I want to say thanks for joining me tonight on the wine stream. Join me again next week. Join me every week at 11 o'clock, and I will definitely try. Hopefully, I'll have this whole Facebook thing worked out by next week so we can start on time next week at 11, and things it won't be an issue like it was tonight. That's a little frustrating. I apologize. There's some of the technical glitches I can't do. There's some things that I can do fix if I can fix them with enough lead time, but there are some technical glitches that are pretty much out of my control. So I just do the best I can. Anyway, thanks for bearing with me tonight, and I hope to see you all again, to see you again next week on Saturday Night Wine Stream, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.